did that, that same one, God will use you. Come on and say yes. It's time for God to use you. So don't worry about what you did and what they say you did, but shake yourself. Come on and say yes. That's why Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up. Anybody stirring, stir up the gift of God that is within you. I wish I had somebody that say, I'm willing to stir. And that word stir doesn't only mean to stir, but it means to shake. In other words, whenever the devil shifts you, he's shaking you, and it should stir you. It should make you, oh, come on and say yes. You know how it is. Why do we shake stuff? Before you take medicine, it says shake well before you take it. I wish I had somebody. You see, why you gotta shake it? Because the real ingredient that you need in your body is lying down in the bottom. And so you gotta be shaken. And God said, since you won't shake yourself, here comes Satan to shake you. So he'll stir you up so you'll be more potent. I wish I had somebody. Say yes. Say yes. Oh, yes. Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. Say yes here, because early, say early, Sunday morning, he was stirred enough that he got up with all power. See, that was a shaking that went on when he shook the earth. When that was a shaking in the borrowed tomb, there was a shaking going on. And when he shook enough, the earth began to quake and the rock was rolled away. See, some of us, it seemed like we're dead. We're hiding behind a rock and between a hard place. I dare you to shake, because if you shake it, you just might make it. I'm gonna make it by prayer. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I made it by prayer. The devil thought he had me. Jesus grabbed me and I made it. I was sick, but I made it. I was down, but I made it. I was depressed, but I made it. I made it. Anybody made it? Come on, don't fool me now. If you made it, you ought to act like you made it. Tell somebody you made it. I made it. I made it. I made it. They counted me out. They counted me out, but I made it. They counted me for dead, but I made it. Hallelujah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 K223 BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3 He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all I've God, in the wonderful name of your son, Jesus, as we come to hear from you today, we pray that you would take this truth and unfold it in our ears and in our spirit. Help us to know what it is you would have us to know as we are not only reading and studying your word, but hearing your word. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can do. Bless us through this text and teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to continue with the message I started at the 7 a.m. service, and it's found in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts, chapter 16. And I want to commence reading at verse 25. Acts, chapter 16, verse 25, recorded are these words. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Divine Breakthrough, Part 2. Divine Breakthrough, Part 2. Paul is experiencing a young lady who's following him with a spirit of divination, a spirit of many false spirits or demonic spirits who fill her body, her person, her vessel. And yet in the midst of that, these spirits are shouting out that Paul and Silas are men, servants of the Most High God. They were not shouting defamed and derogatory comments. But the greatest thing that was being done that Paul had become keenly aware of through his spirit of discernment was that this woman and the spirits that occupied her body and the message that she broadcast was a spirit of deception. And Paul recognized that the spirit of deception would cause many to fall and many to stumble, thinking and believing that this woman was connected with him. Though she was operating in the spirit realm, it was not in the divine spirit of God. It was in the false and satanic spirit realm. And so she, who connected herself by walking after Paul and Silas as they went to and fro ministering, they then were supposing that this woman had some connection with the God of Paul and Silas, and so thinking that her prophecies and her tarot card reading and her palm reading and all of her other acts of witchcraft were from God, when in fact they were from the devil. Paul becomes grieved in his spirit, and he turns around and he shouts to the spirit, not to the woman, and says to the spirit, "Come out of her." And the Bible says, in that same hour, the spirits came out of it. Well, when she recognized she no longer had the power of the witchcraft spirit to read palms and cards and deal in the realm of the area and arena of witchcraft, her owners, her boss, who then knew that that gift was gone, that talent was gone, that ability was gone to get them great monies because they worked, she worked for them. And so when they found and discovered that they could no longer make money from her, through her, using her, they had no more to do with her, and they got mad with Paul and Silas. Amen. They brought them to the magistrates and saying that these men are greatly troubling our city. They are preaching and teaching stuff that is unlawful for Romans to receive, with them being Jews. And so they are then brought to the magistrates and then taken and beaten and thrown into prison. And the guard, head guard, was then given a charge to make sure that these men would not escape. The charge was so severe, so much so, that if they had escaped, the very guards themselves, especially the chief guard, would then lose his life in the place of the guards who had escaped. Amen. Coming down to that point, there are some things that happen. Because when we look at this and understand this, God brings in his own divine way his plan and his program through when he gets ready. There are things God allows because what he wants to do, many times he wants to do it publicly and openly, putting the devil to an open chain. Many times when the work of God is hindered and or hampered, many times that people who try their best to stop God's program only realize that God later was using them to show the world that God is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He's omniscient, and he can do whatever he chooses to, whenever he wants to, whenever and however he wants to. And he proves this in the word time and time again. But in this, you're going to discover that these men experienced something very wonderful. First of all, their deliverance, according to the word that we read, was first of all a designed deliverance from God. God designed it because God orchestrated it and navigated it so that in the end God would receive the glory and they would receive the good. Secondly, in the first message we dealt with the fact that not only was it designed by God, but it was defined by God. The deliverance that they experienced was defined because it was not a total deliverance of body and soul, it was deliverance of the soul. Because when the gates and the doors were open and the cuffs and the stocks were released, they were still physically in jail, though spiritually they had been delivered and made free. And I shared with them there is a difference between a breakout and a breakthrough. And if there's a breakout, you can be removed from that place physically, but spiritually still be in the same place. But when there's a breakthrough, you will be delivered spiritually, even if you're physically in the same place. Because what happens is God rearranges all on the inside that makes one feel confined when the Lord Jesus Christ has declared, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make not set." Because those who would have broken out would have been set free when the doors were open, but they were not made free. And because they were set free, that meant simply that they were loose. Those who would have discovered that they had been loose by a power that they had not authorized would have sought back out to bind them back again. But when you're made free, can't nobody bind you. They may bind your hands, they may bind your feet, but they can't bind your mind and they can't bind your spirit. And when they can't do that, it doesn't matter about the external and the outward appearances. And then the last thing, I told you that that deliverance was divine because it was nothing but God. God did not use human personality to go in with a key at night and open up every door. God did not use human personality to unlock every shackle and every stock on the hands and the feet. God divinely brought that deliverance when he got ready. And then we talked about the fact, because it's important to understand, that all of these things worked in such a way that they experienced deliverance in three ways. One, they prayed. Deliverance will not come before you learn how to pray and pray right. Secondly, when you get through praying, you ought to immediately commence with a praise service. Because a praise service is a confirmation that the prayer service went good. Some of y'all slept on that and you missed it. I said praise service is a confirmation that the prayer service went good. In other words, if you know you're going to get what you just got through asking God for, then why do you have to wait till you see it to start shouting? If you know it's on the way when you get through saying amen, you ought to start saying amen, praise God, thank you, hallelujah. You ought to begin to praise. And they immediately, listen at this, began to praise. But the third thing I told you about them was that they then became patient. See, when the praise service is over, then it's like now you can relax because you know God has got this thing fixed. And you're not worried about it. It's in God's timing. And when it's in God's timing, you know all is well. It's just a matter of whenever he gets ready to do it. If he don't show up when I want him to, he never promised he would come on time, but he did promise he'd be there in time. And in time is due time. That's when he says he'll show up. But I'm not really here at this hour to talk about the people or the problems. My focus at this hour is to talk about the power. See, because you need to know how you can get your supernatural breakthrough. You need to know what it takes for the deliverance and who it is that delivers you. Let's go back to the text, if you will. Verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now, again, they prayed in agreeing prayer. Now, whether they touched in the natural or simply in the spirit, they agreed in prayer, and thus that collectively joined Jesus to their situation. For the Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, there shall he be in the midst. If they touch and agree on anything on earth, and these men agreed in prayer. And when you agree in prayer, then you can agree in praise. And they agreed in praise. And then the Bible makes clear that the other prisoners heard them. Now, when the other prisoners heard them, it also stirred them up. That's one of the reasons why you've got to be careful not to quietly praise God and quietly many times keep your testimony from others and quietly worship God when there may be others sitting around you that needs to know the God you trust and serve is real. Sometimes your praise and your testimony and your witness encourages other folk. You don't know. Everybody that's sitting around you might not be saved. Everybody you see on Sunday morning might not be strong. Everybody you see in church clapping or even dancing or even praising may not be where they ought to be. Some of them are just praising and thanking God for holding on and hanging on when the truth of the matter is they're trying to get on further than where they are. And God can use your witness and God can use your testimony and God can use your praise to encourage and include others. Sometimes there are people, and you got to understand the difference, and that happens in our church on Sunday mornings, that there are people who are dealing with different things. And many are on the break and the desire of a divine breakthrough. But on the other hand, there are others who are dealing with difficult breakups. There are others who are dealing with distraught breakdowns. And there are many who are dealing with diverse breakouts when all they're really looking for is a breakthrough. Because all of those other things fail to meet the needs underneath the skin. The only thing that's going to take them to where they need to be in God is a breakthrough. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you need a breakthrough? Tell them just hold on, it's coming if they listen. Turn to your other neighbor. Turn to your other neighbor. Come on, tell them to say, do you need a breakthrough? Just tell them, hold on, it's coming if you listen. And if you're talking to yourself, just go on and say, my breakthrough is on the way. Because sometimes we get to acting holier than thou and act like we're talking to other folk when the truth is I need a breakthrough and I need it. Come on, help me somebody. So if I don't act all cute,
cute and sophisticated, if I don't act all religious and all that, it's because I'm waiting on something real. I'm waiting on God to do what he promised he would do. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Now sit down. Let me try and help us a little more. If God designed the breakthrough, and if God defined the breakthrough, and we know that the breakthrough is divine, then that means we don't have to do anything to make the situation work out right, other than pray, praise, and be patient. Pray, praise, and be patient. We ain't got to bribe nobody. We ain't got to try and talk our way out of it. We ain't got to lie. We ain't got to try and hook. We ain't got to plot. We ain't got to plan. We ain't got to connive. All we got to do is pray, praise, and be patient. Because I got news for you. If you do anything other than pray, praise, and be patient, you will not have a breakthrough. You might have a breakdown. You might have a breakout. And you might even get a breakup, but you ain't going to get what God's got for you. Now listen. When they got through praying, the other prisoners at midnight heard what they were saying and were so convicted and moved and touched and inspired till they put their amen with their prayer. And you do know what amen means, don't you? It means be it so or so be it. It means agreement. And they put their amen with their prayers. And when God did a supernatural deliverance and breakthrough, everybody in the prison got delivered. Listen, the prisoners and the persons who kept the prisoners. Now that's a total breakthrough. Listen at the text, because I want you to go back through and see the word again. It says, verse 26, and suddenly. You see, when you make up your mind to wait on God, sometimes he don't take as long as you think he's going to take. It's just you got to get at the point and say, Lord, however long it's take, I'm going to stay till you say, well done, till you open the door, till you make the way, till you do what you said. And when you make your mind up to do that, God say, well, I ain't got to wait no longer. He's already convinced I am that I am. Now listen at this. 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. Listen. Two things happened in this verse and the next verse. The prisoners on the inside were praying and not sleeping. The prison keeper was on the outside sleeping and not praying. But when God shook the whole situation up, he brought all of their attention to him. Now he picked up, put his hands under the foundations of the jail, and just did a little. He didn't want to tear the jailhouse. He just wanted to rock it. Y'all ain't getting this. He just wanted a little jailhouse rock there. Just so that the comfortable would be discomforted and the discomforted would be comforted when they both came to know him and that it was him who was doing it. Listen at this now. So the text says again, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Supposing. That's a bad thing to do. That's like assuming. That's exactly what it meant. Listen, that the prisoners had been fled. Do you know why when he woke up and saw all of the prison doors open that he assumed wasn't no prisoners still in the cell? Because had he been in the cell, y'all not hear me, and the guard was sleeping, and the doors and the shackles were open and all, he would have escaped. And see, that's why you got to be careful about folk who call you stuff that they really are. Y'all ain't hear me. Don't get mad. Most times, folk shout out and project and they give to you a reality of what is in them. If they don't trust you, it's because they don't trust themselves. If they think you lying to them, it's because they maybe know that they're lying to themselves. Y'all not hearing me here. It was a projection. He supposed that they were gone because if he had been in the same situation. That's why you got to be careful about folk who give you advice that don't come from the Lord. Child, because see, if I was in your shoes, or if that were me, y'all not hearing me here. But sometime you ought to say, thank God. Because when you keep putting your hands on it, you keep taking God's hands off of it. When you take your hands off of it, you then allow God to put his hands on it. And that's what he did. Listen, because I want you to see, what was it that was so powerful that caused the effects inwardly and outwardly in the prison itself and in the prisoners and in the keeper of the prison? What was it? How did God choose to work? How did God choose to operate? How did God choose to move that would show everyone involved that he was sovereign all by himself? What would make the saved say thank you? And what would awe the unsaved and make them want to know this power and this person? What was it? Well, I'm glad you asked. It was his anointing. I said it was his anointing. Notice here, the anointing representing the presence of God, the power of God, didn't show up till after prayer and praise and patience or rest in the knowledge that God is faithful had already happened. His anointing came immediately and covered that whole situation. And so because of his anointing, it operated in his will. His power, his authority operated in doing what he wanted it to do. And that's what you got to understand about the anointing of God. When God's anointing comes, it destroys yokes. It can put together a broken heart. It can mend anything that's broken and unfit. God's power in his anointing is so miraculous that if his anointing shows up, the enemy and all of his stuff has got to get out. That's why no church and no Christian ought not want to be in an anointed service. Because just being in the room when the anointing is flowing, the anointing destroys the yoke. And sometimes just being in the right place when God shows up and you can get some things fixed and some things brought and some things delivered and some things let go and all of these other things when the anointing is present. Now look at the effect of the anointing. First of all, let's look at that anointing on the prisoners themselves. First of all, when you look at this anointing and see how the deliverance came by this anointing, according to the text, one, arrested their attention. Yeah. If you want to know why this guard, this keeper, would have pulled out his sword and killed himself, it was because he was not in that place. And he was not under the influence of the anointing. And so the first thing he thought of was to kill himself, because he knew when the morning came and they discovered not only the prisoners that were kept in this secure place were gone, but all the other prisoners there were gone. They were going to kill him. So he said, why wait till morning comes?
And he didn't understand the anointing that was there. Now, what would make a prisoner stay in his cell when the doors are open and the cuffs and the shackles are off and you're free to walk out but the anointing?